He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. You're listening to Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We wanted to get a little bit of football in the middle of all the hockey talk today and the SEC football talk. One of our favorites to read out there, our Monday Morning Quarterback, Andrew Brandt, wrote a great article this week that focuses on growing a young franchise, and we thought it'd be perfect to bring him on and talk about the young franchise here, of course. Andrew, thanks for taking a little time and joining us this morning, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, good to be with you guys. As you know, the NFL has no offseason. It's always busy.
That is the absolute truth. And you wrote, as I just referenced, a really nice article that sort of breaks down young franchises, and that's what we see the Titans as at this point, is a building franchise, how a franchise sort of builds to the next level. When you look at the Titans, do you feel like they're building in a way that lays forward sort of a foundation for the next several years?
Yeah, I do. And I think what you reference is my column about, you know, tanking is a loaded word and a misnomer in my word. Maybe in other sports, maybe basketball has more relevance, but some people associate with tanking, and sort of came out last week with the Jets cutting a couple veterans with playing young players. I mean, that's how you get better. Every experienced player in the NFL was once an inexperienced player, and that's how they get better. And I was with the Green Bay Packers for 10 years, and our motto, our philosophy, our strategy was draft and develop, identify core players to do long-term extensions with, don't go for quick fixes, don't go for spot free agents that don't fit the culture. And again, there's no secret to building a successful franchise, but I think that gets you a long way if you just start with a philosophy that you're going to develop. You know, last thing on the Jets had all these veterans last year. The two guys they cut, Harrison Decker, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brandon Marshall, Darrell Revis, they finished 5-11. So are they really tanking if they play young players in place of those guys and finish with a similar record? It just seems to me it's an odd nomer.
We're big believers of you build through the draft as well, and we certainly see teams like Jacksonville continue to go out and spend. You got to pick and choose, but it sounds like your theory is the reason that these great franchises that you mentioned in your column, you know, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, New England, so on and so forth, it's essentially scouting departments. It all comes down to the draft.
Yeah, you have to trust your scouts, and really you have to trust your coaches, because been around coaches a long time. The standard default for coaches is, yeah, we want experienced guys. We don't want them to learn on the job. But you have to be in sync with a coaching staff that's going to develop young players. And no coach likes to be told to play a 22-year-old over a 26-year-old. But that's what has to happen. And I think franchises get held back when they have to, you know, sort of play veterans instead of younger players, and they're not developing anything.
It's interesting to me. We're talking to Andrew Brandt from Monday Morning Quarterback. Andrew, part of the process here that you're talking about, though, requires a lot of patience. And losing franchises typically lack patience. So how do you find that middle road? If you're a team like the Browns that are constantly reinventing, how do you get the patience to let these young guys develop?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think you've identified a team that I think is on the right path now, because they have gone through a lot of different philosophies, the Browns. They've gone in and out of front offices. You know about the front office with Mike Holmgren, the front office with Mike Lombardi and Joe Banner, the front office now. They seem to be settling in on, some people would call it analytics, a long view, the long view, which you're identifying with your team and with the more successful teams. And, yeah, maybe the Browns and even the Jets aren't going to be that good this year, but they're taking the long view. I think the Titans have, and they may, you know, I think now you see the Titans as a pick to go to be that next playoff team. And that, you know, I'm reminded of a quote by Jeff Bezos, the chairman of Amazon. Someone was saying, what a great quarter you had, or well, great earnings this year. Well, he said that was due to what we did 3-4 years ago. And I think that's true in football, too.
Cam Newton came out and had some quotes and basically saying, you know, I'm evaluating my career. I'm paraphrasing here. I'm evaluating my career, but I'm missing something, and that Super Bowl ring is what I'm missing. Do we put, as fans and media members, too much weight on the championship ring and when we evaluate players at the end of the, in particular, the quarterback position in the NFL?
I think we do, and I know I get a lot of blowback when I say this. I'm not even sure why we have individual awards in the NFL. You know, your best players, Marcus Mariota, I mean, your best players play half the game. So it's really hard for me to look at this, you know, and see how many Tom Brady would have if a catch was or wasn't made, how many Matt Ryan would have, how many, you know, it just, these are decisions that are made coaching, defense, offense, special teams. I think a lot of it does go into that. You know, I just think it too much credit and too much blame is always given to the quarterback position. That's just the nature of the game.
I want to get your thoughts because you mentioned part of the process is developing and then re-signing, and that's something the Titans specifically are about to start to have to deal with in the next few years with some of the young talent. From your mindset, when you start to see the guys that have come up, how do you put the right value on guys, and how do you continue to grow successfully when you need to start paying some of the guys that have developed into stars?
Well, my philosophy in Green Bay, you know, my entire time there, we had a quarterback making $15-plus million, whether Brett or Aaron, and you just have to build around that. In other words, you have to identify young players and go to them before they hit their leverage point, because once they hit their leverage point, you're paying retail, and you always try to pay less than retail. You know, it used to be you could do guys after 2 years. Now it's 3 years. But, you know, you go to a guy with a year left on his contract, and he's only making $1 million or whatever it is, you've got a situation ripe for an extension. The key is working closely with personnel to identify who it is you want to do that bet with, and then working with the agent to understand, you know, we're not going to pay what he could make in free agency. So it's a delicate balance. And I also think it's overrated when people say, well, they're paying a quarterback $25 million. They can't really build a team around them. Yes, you can. You can't build around them with free agents. You got to build around them with your core, and that has been done and can be done.
We know who the clear-cut front runners in the AFC East and the AFC North are going to be, in probably Pittsburgh and New England, respectively. Who are the clear? Are there clear-cut front runners? And if who do you think should be the front runners in the West and the South division in the AFC?
Well, again, you know, I'm doing exactly what I wouldn't do, but pressure on the quarterback. You know, when you talk about your division there, I like the Titans, but I think a lot of it comes down to luck and the quarterback, whoever that is in Houston, because, you know, quarterback play is probably going to determine the fate of those two teams in different ways. You know, luck has to carry the team. The quarterback in Houston just has to keep it afloat while the defense plays so well. But I think the best balance probably is Tennessee in terms of both sides of the ball. On the West, Oakland's the hot team. You know, I really like Andy Reid as a coach. I just don't know if they're going to move to Mahomes this year at quarterback. If they do, you have to allow for growing pains. If they stick with Alex Smith, they can expect to be contenders again. But we'll see, you know, and Denver back to the quarterback situation. They've got to get that solved. But if I had to pick, you know, I'm going to pick Tennessee. I'm going to pick Oakland.
It's great stuff, guys. Follow him on Twitter, at Andrew Brandt. Read him, obviously, on Monday Morning Quarterback. Man, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for the great insight, my friend.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Great stuff from him. I want to unpack a little bit of what he said, obviously, and stress a couple of things about what he said that revolve around quarterback value and how you build a team. So let's do that when we come back. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.